5x5 diamond. Our candles were soy and eco-friendly, and we just made a pot.
Welcome to the Faith Center Audio Experience Podcast.
Birthdays,
we are excited to have you listen with us today.
From a long day.
We pray this podcast encourages you in your walk with Christ.
For max relaxation.
Welcome, Faith Center Church, members and friends. The order of services are: all in-person services have been canceled until further notice.
Or
Sunday morning worship is at 10 a.m. streaming live on our website, faithcenterchurchct.com. Also on Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope. On Tuesdays, the FCC Youth Virtual Trivia for all youth and young adults is held on Zoom every Sunday from 12 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. for ages 5 to 12, and from 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. for ages 13 to 18. To participate, please sign up via the church website. On Fridays, join us for our evening prayer call at 7 p.m. See the church website for more information. On Saturdays, join us for the men's fellowship call at 9 a.m. via Zoom. See the church website also for more details. Also, on every Saturday, join us for Bible school at 6:55 p.m. to 8 p.m. via conference call. It is our prayer that you continue to join us each week. If you would like to receive the lesson for next week's class, please go to our website and click Contact Us. On August 1st, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., there will be a virtual credit repair seminar via Zoom. Don't let bad credit destroy your dreams. This is a free one-day seminar taught by credit repair specialist Stephanie Lawrence. Learn how to quickly improve your credit score and live your best life. All members and non-members are welcome. To RSVP, please go to church website. Can't make it to service? Take us with you and listen to our various podcast shows. Go to church website and click podcast for more information.
And now for today's word from our Bishop Joseph Norfleet.
Praise the Lord. On today, we're going to be reading from the book of Action, which is the book of Acts. We are living in the day of the book of Acts, and we are continuing to act in and upon the word and the will of God. Acts chapter 3. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10. And when you have that, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, as is our custom, won't you say, I have arrived. All right, I have arrived. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with joy, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Somebody ought to give God a praise right now. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Praise the Lord. And the word of the Lord is so powerfully and immensely blessed. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may have your seats. I want to emphasize the scripture, verse 6. For it is in there we will find our subject, our theme, our thrust. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Why don't you turn to somebody that's near you or just speak it in the air and say, rise up and walk. For this is the gift or the thing that Peter and John was able to give to the man, although that is not what he asked for. They didn't simply give him what he wanted. But this part I love. God will give you what you need. They gave him what he needed. I want to talk to you from the subject this morning. And yes, I have a sub-subject or a subtitle this morning. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject, we have the answer. Come on, turn to somebody, your neighbor, your next door neighbor or somebody, whoever, your pew partner or your living room partner, whoever, and tell them, we have the answer. Folk are looking for answers every day all over the place. But we have the answer. And as a subtitle, I want you all to know today that I have what you need. Come on, help me out here. Look at somebody eyeball to eyeball if you can. And tell them, I have what you need. It may not be what you necessarily want, because sometimes what you want... Or can I say, sometimes what you need may not be what you want at the particular time. Let me digress to a story when I was a little boy, and some of y'all I'm sure can relate to this. There was a substance, they called it medicine, called castor oil. Oh, did you hear? Elder, when I said castor oil, people started to say, you didn't want it, but you needed it. It was exactly what you needed. We have the answer. The problem is some of the folk, or shall I say too many people in the world, really don't want it, but they need it. The book of Acts is an accurate record of the early church. And I have to say it that way because we are still the church. The church is not necessarily the physical building. The church is you. The Bible lets us understand that the church is the body of Christ. We make up the body. As I look out in the audience today, I'm seeing eyeballs of the church. I'm seeing hands of the church. I'm looking at feet of the church. Together, we all get it done. Come on, tell somebody, get it done. Get it done. The book of Acts is also a theological book with lessons and examples of the work of the promised Holy Spirit. But this is the part I really like, and I appreciate everything that the Holy Spirit, and I welcome that. But this is what I really like. It is also a powerful display of what can be accomplished when man and or when women yield to the will of God and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. It's amazing what God will do through you as he places you as the answer to somebody's problem. I have what you need. Come on, if you don't buy it, let's deal with our with our partners. Just look at them eyeball to eyeball and tell them again, I have what you need. Oftentimes, we are carriers of product that we don't even understand what the product is. We don't even know the fullness of the power of what we have. You don't know how great you are. You don't know how significant you are to somebody's life. God made you that way. You are the answer to somebody's problem, and or you have the answer to somebody's problem. Beginning in Jerusalem with a small group of disciples, the message of Christ traveled across the entire Roman Empire, but it expands even more and covers the whole world, because God is using you and God is using I to do this great work. God used the disciples. He used them through the power of the Holy Spirit to forever change the lives of the people through the preaching of the gospel, through healings, even as we see here today in the text, through deliverance and through miracles, signs, and wonders. Did y'all understand this? God used Peter and John. And it wasn't just Peter. The Bible said Peter and John. He said, look on us. He didn't say, look on me. See, that's one of the problems today. We want the glory. But one of the things that God will never share is his glory. We get to be used by God, and there are benefits. We are blessed because we allow ourselves, we yield to the will of God. Somebody's going to hear me. I'm trying to tell somebody how to be blessed. These things, the healings, the miracles, signs and wonders, the deliverances, these things amazed and moved the people to change their sinful ways and accept Jesus as their Savior. And people are still being amazed. I love it when I read in the Bible, when there's a healing or deliverance or something that goes on, the Bible says that the people were amazed, the people were moved, the people were stunned, they were amazed. It literally means to cause them to stand in awe at what they witnessed. And that word there also means that they received it with gladness, but it surpassed their gladness, almost making them in a frenzy. I'm so glad at what I've seen. I'm so glad at what God has done. I'm amazed, not just amused, but I'm amazed. This is relevant because this is actually what God wants to use you to do in this year of 2020 and throughout your life. God, through you, want to cause the people to be amazed, stunned, to the point that there's a point of joy and excitement that they just want to live for God. But God wants to use you. You are the answer to somebody's problem. But you've got to recognize that. And so this message today is so incredibly relevant because we are living in a day, hear me, we're living in a day that there is such a tremendous need for a revitalization of Christian morals, ethics, of Christian character in our society. Folk have gone crazy. They take on all kinds of beliefs, and it really gains them nothing. They're losing out on the joy of the Lord and headed for a burning hell. I know you don't hear that preached like it used to be preached, but ain't nothing changed. Y'all excuse my vernacular. I do know how to, you know, speak proper English, but ain't nothing changed. Folk gone crazy. Sinners gone wild, doing whatever they feel they're big enough to do and whatever they feel they can get away with. There is a need for a revitalization of Christian morals, Christian ethics. We do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. We love everybody just like our Jesus loves everybody. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything you do. It doesn't mean that we have to like everything you do. But we're going to stand as a witness for God so that you can see an example of what God's will really is. Trying to help somebody. And so we come to you with the word of God today. We have the answer. We have what they really need. This story, let me deal with this story here. It's a powerful story. Daily, the Jews observed 3 times of prayer, that they would literally go to the synagogue or to the temple, as it's called. Wouldn't it be something if everybody made their way 3 times a day to the house of God just to pray? My God, my God. They would meet 3 times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and at sunset. In the morning, the time was at 9 a.m. in the morning. In the afternoon, about 3 p.m. And then in the evening was judged by when the sun begins to go down. In other words, I'm starting my day with God. In the middle of the day, I want to stop, drop, and pray. And reflect on what God has already done and give him praise for what he is doing and what he's going to do. Can I tell y'all something? You don't need to know exactly how things are going to turn out. You can praise him for that right now, because however they turn out, you know it's according to God's will. And God's will is great. God's will is right. God's will is what you want to be in. Even when you don't like it necessarily or don't understand it, you know that it's working for your good. I wish I had a church to preach to today. It's working for your good. Oh, we're going to talk to each other today. Tell them whatever's going on in your life. Tell them it's working for your good. It's working for your good. The hour of prayer. There was a routine. Hallelujah. A routine to get to the process that they would be blessed. There was a routine that they would become stronger in the Lord. There was a routine, a process in place. I'm trying to talk to somebody about prayer. Watch this, watch this, watch. This prayer empowers the believer by strengthening his or her bond with God. Oh, that feels good. I think I'll say it again. Prayer empowers the believer by strengthening his or her bond with God. Y'all know what a bond is. A tie, a commitment, that which holds you together. Bond. A bond, hear me, a marriage is a bond. A partnership is a bond. A relationship is a bond. Hear what I'm saying here. Because God is all about bonds. He calls it covenant. Bond is another word for covenant. Some of you all need to strengthen your covenant or your bond. And a good way to get it started is through prayer. A bond is always, did he say always? A bond is always associated with a commitment to a relationship in a shared purpose. I want to make sure y'all get that, because having a bond with another person, see, Peter and John were bonded with Christ, but Peter and John were also bonded together. Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, because God had called them to come. God had connected them. God had bonded them for a common purpose. And that common purpose went beyond this one thing of seeing to it that this lame man, this crippled man, would walk. They had purpose together. They were bonded together. Husband and wives are bonded together. Friends in a Christian relationship, that where there is purpose for them, are bonded together. Can you identify who God bonded you with. Oh, I don't mean to start trouble. And this is so important. Please bear with me. I want to repeat this again because I think it bears repeating. A bond is always associated with a commitment to a relationship in a shared purpose. See, we need one another. Jesus never sent any of his disciples out by them single cells to do anything. Bible says he sent them out two by two. You know why? Because there has to be a bond. And the two has to be bonded in Christ Jesus. That's why you can't marry your own self. Hallelujah. God gives every marriage, God gives every merger, God gives every relationship a purpose, and you must be bonded together if you're going to see it to fruition. Know those that labor among you. Don't start nothing up in here. There is something that we must help one another to achieve. And I want y'all to see this because, see, the Bible doesn't just show us examples of how he wants it to be and what happens when you throw in the perfect will of him. He also uses examples of what can go drastically wrong when you get outside of his will. Because there was a time, hallelujah, there was a time when Judas was bonded with Christ, but he broke the bond and stepped out. And so Judas is an example of what can happen when you violate the bond. Look at somebody and tell them, let's stay together. Because God has purpose for us. Sometimes you got to overlook your individual differences for the sake of the total purpose. Because at the end of the day, it's not just about you. It's about the purpose that God has called you to fulfill. Can I tell y'all something? I don't want to get too personal, but my wife and I have many differences. In other words, opposite likes. Some of the foods, we both love sweets. We both love dessert. Y'all don't understand. I remember a time we went to a Church of God in Christ conference, and by chance, we missed that evening service because we went to a Walmart. And we bought bushels of candy, chocolate covered cashews, chocolate covered, y'all. And we ate till we had ourselves filled and couldn't get up. But there are other candies and cookies that she likes that I find to be yuck. But we can work around all of that because we have a common bond. We have a purpose. I'm trying to help somebody. You don't have to like or appreciate everything about the person that God has joined you with. There are going to be differences. Come on now, you know yourself. If everybody in the world was just like you, what kind of mess would this be? I mean, come on. All right, let me move on because I don't. Let me just move on. But we should expect God to use us without a notification. He doesn't have to send a piece of mail to us 2 days in advance to let us know at a such and such time, at the hour of prayer, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. All you got to do is be ready and know that God has placed the answer in you. Church, expect God to use you without prior notification. I'm sure that when Peter and John woke up in the morning, they did not know what, who, where, or when God would use them on that day. But there was an expectation. Come on and say expectation. There was an expectation that God was going to do something great again. Look at somebody and say, God's going to do something great again. Hallelujah. And the requirements, plural, the requirements to be used greatly in the kingdom of God. I'm just going to enunciate about three things or so. Number one, you got to have a humble heart. Humble spirit. Not all high and mighty. You looking for the praise. You looking for the glory. No. I told you God's not going to let you steal his glory. A humble heart. This allows you to be reachable and teachable. I heard somebody in a high position the other day say that I am the one. I have the answer. He said, I alone. Can't fix no names mentioned. No name. I alone can fix. What kind of man? Nobody gets to do anything great all by themselves. There's a process that takes place that you need somebody to. Number two, you must have a yielded spirit. A yielded spirit allows you to be usable and therefore powerful. But you got to be usable. In other words, you know, I may not understand what God is doing and why he's allowing this to happen, but I know God. I love God. I trust God. And so, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Well, whatever happens, here I am. I'm yielded. And number three, and this is key. Well, they're all key, but listen to me. Because, see, this will help you in every area. All three of these will help you in every area of your life. And by the way, being humble doesn't mean being a pushover. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 lets us know that there's a time for everything. But in all of those things, you've got to remain humble. There's a time to love. There's a time for peace. There's a time for war. There's a time to fight. But in all of that, you've got to be humble in yielding to the will of God. Number three, here it is. You must have an unwavering determination in your work ethics. Now, is he going to talk about works today? Yes, we all have a license to work. Bible says that if a man won't work, he shouldn't what? He shouldn't eat. In other words, he shouldn't be fed. He shouldn't receive the things that ordinarily he would need. It's not just talking about a natural food. You don't have provision. You don't have supply. Perhaps you're not working. Or perhaps you're at work, but not working properly. You're taking breaks when everybody else is pulling together. Work. Oh, yes. You hiding in the bathroom because you don't want to have a part of the tough part. Oh. If a man doesn't work, if a man doesn't exert energy, if a man, Jesus, he shouldn't receive provision. He shouldn't receive prosperity. Also, now you see why you're going through. You want everybody to give you everything. You know, I can't stay there. I can't stay there because I can't. Let me move on. So you need an unwavering determination in your work ethics. It allows you to be both effective and successful. Let me move on. But expectations. The text deal with people who had expectations. The cripple had an expectation that he was going to receive alms or money from Peter and John, that he would be able to eat another day. Peter and John had an expectation that they were going to enter the temple and meet with God, that there was going to be a spiritual encounter. They had an expectation that God was going to build them up, that God was going to place in them what they needed for the next moment, that God was going to make a way out of no way, that God was going to speak to their hearts, and they would have a divine knowing that would keep them and protect them from the unseen thing. They had an expectation that God was going to make himself very real to them. They didn't know what God was going to do. All they knew is, I've got a meeting with God. I've got a rally. I've got a time to be with God. And I'm not going to miss this opportunity. Expectations. I come to tell somebody today that you've got to have some expectations. The danger of low expectations or even no expectations is that you will always hit your mark. You set your marks low, that's what you're aiming for. People who want nothing in life frustrate me because all they do is get in the way. Just get out my way. If you can't help me, get out my way. If you came to hinder me, no, get out my way. If you don't expect anything, if you're not expecting miracles, if you're not expecting for God to fulfill in your life what he said he was going to do, get out my way. They frustrate me. Just because you can't have it, don't block my path. Get out the way. Get out the way. You know anybody that needs to get out your way? Get to work or get out the way. And so the Bible says, my God, the Bible says that the cripple was laid at the gate called Beautiful every single day. 7 days a week. Didn't take no holidays off. Hallelujah. They laid him. The Bible said that they laid him at the gate. And I find that the position that the Bible talks about how they placed him is very significant. Because this man really needed help. He needed more than what he asked for, but he didn't know that because he was only able to think in the moment. The people of God must begin to think beyond the moment because there's a thing that's coming called tomorrow. Hallelujah. And there are some things that you need, some stuff and things and people in your life today to in order to prepare for what's coming on tomorrow. Bible says that he was laid there daily. And that word laid in the Greek tongue, the original text, I find it interesting. Tithemi, T-H or T-I-T-H-E-M-I. It's a powerful word. It literally means to be positioned horizontally. Now I find the position of laying horizontally an interesting position because it is a position of vulnerability. It is a position that if attacked, you can't even help yourself. That's why if you're laying down and somebody comes to do you wrong, first thing you want to do is get up. First thing you want to do is sit up. I don't even care if somebody just comes while you're laying down. If they come in talking junk, first thing you're going to do is you're going to sit up. Because you don't want to be vulnerable. This man legitimately could not help himself. But Peter and John had the answer. I come to tell you today that somebody is laying horizontally at your doorstep and they need your help. And you have what they need. You have the answer. In fact, you are the answer because of the Christ that lives in you. Am I making sense, church? But Peter and John had what he needed. And so I come to tell somebody today that you have what they need, but you got to walk in the power of it. From this powerful and revelatory text in the book, we learned that, number one, we learned that we should ask for what we want, but don't be surprised when God gives us what we really need. You can only ask, speak, and perform according to where you are in your mindset, in your level of understanding. But don't be surprised when God does more. Don't be surprised, Jesus. You asking God for the money that you can put down on the house, but a miracle takes place and the homeowner says, "The Lord just spoke to me and told me to give you the house." Don't look at me funny. Don't look at me funny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The lame beggar asked for money, but God, through Peter and John, gave him something better. They gave him the ability to use his legs. Hallelujah. From the text, we learn that God is not limited by our inabilities. I'm going to have to close on this. Look at somebody and say, "You got to dream bigger." I don't don't know what the beggar's name was, but if I could call his name, I would say, you got to dream bigger. You got to expect more. I came to tell somebody today, yes, even in this time or this season of COVID-19, we must dream bigger. Joseph dreamed his way out of the pit. He was in the pit, but he was determined not to die in the pit because he knew that he had a dream and he expected the dream to come true. So he dreamed until he was out of the pit. He expected more, but he was placed in pit prison, but he kept on dreaming. He dreamed for something bigger. He dreamed until he was out of the prison. He longed to see his father Jacob. He didn't know where his father was. He didn't know how to get to him, but the Bible lets us know that he kept on believing God. He kept on dreaming. I don't know what God promised you, but keep on believing God. Keep on, hallelujah. We don't know how he's going to do it. We just know he's going to do it. We don't know when or where he's going to do it, but you got to keep on trusting and believing God. I come to tell somebody, you got to dream bigger. Dream till someone, dream till God sends your answer. Dream till someone, dream till God heals you. Dream till someone, dream till God delivers you. You got to expect more. You got to dream more. The Bible tells about a woman who had an issue of blood. My God, she said, I'm not going to settle for this. I just believe that there's more for me. She pressed away because she believed that if she could just touch, if I could just get a touch, if she just could touch the hem of his garment. I come to tell somebody, keep on believing. Expect your miracle. Believe that God will make the way. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise. Come on, give God a praise. Hallelujah. He sent the answer. He sent the remedy. And I believe God. If I don't have it yet, I'm going to keep on keeping on. If I don't have it yet, I'm going to keep on believing God. You are praying right now. It's coming. It's coming. God is going to pick you up and heal you. There's healing in the room. There's deliverance in the room. If you just believe God, if you can just hold on, trust God. Take it at his word. The miracle is one more prayer away. Wait a minute, wait a minute. What did I see? What did I see? It's a miracle. It's right there. Believe God. Hallelujah. God is reaching down to pick you up. The Bible said, Peter, reach down and help the lame man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just believe that God is helping you in the area of your faith right now. He's doing it right now. Lord, somebody ought to thank him right now. God, hey. That bond is being strengthened right now. Wherever you are, the listeners, the viewers, wherever you are, God is strengthening that bond. Your faith is being built, and God is sending the answer. Matter of fact, for some of you, you just got it right there, right there. You just received it. Believe it in Jesus' name. Take it. Receive it now. Hey, oh. We walk by faith. It's not my son. I believe, I trust God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even now, Father. Even now. Lord, your people are rejoicing at this word. Because you've sent this word today that they might know that deliverance has come. Healing has come. that unexpected miracle has arrived. And we thank you, Lord, for the change. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Now, Lord, bless us to be a blessing to someone else. I speak healing now. Come on, get ready to receive this. Get ready to receive this. I speak divine healing in your bodies right now in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Watch this. Watch this. I speak the peace and deliverance in your mind that your mental thinking has kept you in bondage. But today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I liberate you, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, 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 hey. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Also, help us if you can to spread this word to the nations by giving. You can give the following ways. Cash App, $FCCCKojic. PayPal, faithcenterct@aol.com. Givelify, faithcenterKojic. Or mail in at 22 Crown Street, Meriden, Connecticut, 06450. We'll see you on next week.